Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
It's rolling good. You know, we had an argument a few weeks ago, or not even an argument, just the conversation about the most irrelevant team in professional sports.
Yeah, maybe.
So the Dallas Stars are in the news today for firing their their coach.
I'm sure rumors.
But I haven't followed the story. But I was thinking, like, they might be number one.
No way.
They're just completely irrelevant.
The Stars?
They're not irrelevant.
They're not a top five most irrelevant NHL team. I would say.
They might be.
The Columbus Blue Jackets are much more irrelevant than the Dallas Stars.
I feel like the Columbus Blue Jackets are so irrelevant that they're sort of relevant. Like their relevance is their irrelevance.
Well, then you're just defining your terms in some absurd way.
It's just like the Dallas Stars
What's relevant about I don't know, any of the Buffalo Sabres?
The Sabres have like exciting young players. I don't know. The Stars are like never especially good. They're rarely like horrible.
I mean, they won a cup in our lifetimes.
But I'm saying this century, they won in 99. This century, they're like the most irrelevant.
I remember where I was when that game ended. I was listening on the radio.
Where were you?
Very sad. I was at, oh, you know what? Funny, I was in Englewood, New Jersey, actually, now that I think about it, for like the first time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now I live there. Small world.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about football, though. I don't know why we're talking about the Dallas Stars to start our football podcast.
Oh, wait, so let me say something, though. So the Patreon episode this week is Songs of the 90s, right? Best songs of the decade, but not this decade.
I found us an amazing host. You vetoed it. You said I had no involvement in this, and you planned the whole thing yourself.
No, I did not veto it. They said they couldn't do it for 2 weeks.
No, I had another host. Well, I haven't told you about it yet.
Tell me what it is. You didn't even tell me this.
Well, I don't know why we're
discussing veto it. You're
that
lying.
Podcast off the air on this air, but whatever.
Why? I don't know. You're lying.
I
didn't veto it.
I meant to tell you. It's in my inbox. But I was going to tell you before. I thought we were doing the football one now.
Wait, so you meant to tell me the host?
No,
so
I didn't veto it. Well, no, but I just asked. Well, whatever. Why are we discussing the music podcast?
I'll tell you why. Because my idea was, since
we're
going to record it.
Sign up for the Patreon. Is that the point?
No, it's not at all. No, I've given up hope. Whoever we have now, we're stuck with, I think.
What are we, 84 people? 85 people?
Something like 85.
But yeah, it's been pretty stable since like the first week.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you're a 100th patron, what is the 100th patron yet? Let's get some movement here.
No, well, that's not fair because people will they'll like unsign up to become the 100th.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Maybe like the 100th, there's like a lottery and the winner gets
of anyone
like,
in the top
$100,000. Maybe we cancel it. We close it off after 100. That's the plan. Like no one's allowed in. Like the Seinfeld podcast didn't allow new listeners the last like year. No, my idea was because we need a tiebreaker for voting on some of these songs. What if we did something now where I post in the Patreon group, in the Facebook, in our WhatsApp group, let's say, and I say like, who knows music and could be on a podcast in 1 hour. And we have a random listener break the ties for us.
Wait, so we could get an actual guest, and instead you just want to have a random person who, based on availability?
No, I'm happy to get an actual guest. You didn't tell me that you had...
Can we discuss this? I don't even know when we're recording that podcast. Tomorrow, I assume.
I thought it was... We usually do back-to-back now.
Not when we have guests. Fine. All right. I know that the listeners enjoy this argument, so I hope they enjoy this stupid argument that we're having.
Well, no, but it's also stupid because I just spent a lot of time on the bracket for no reason.
Asked me... Like, I mean, I asked you, I said, listen, you know, I'm going to plan the bracket, and then you just did the whole thing without even communicating with me, which is fine. I'm glad you did some work.
I asked you who should do it.
I said I would do it. I said send me the songs you want in it. Anyways, let's stop arguing about a podcast that isn't this podcast. All right, let's argue about this podcast.
Okay.
So, week 14 in the NFL. Kiva, you alive in any fantasy leagues?
Of course, many.
Famously atrocious. I've never been in a fantasy league with you that you weren't like the worst person in the league. So,
it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Name a fantasy league that I've been in. Now, maybe I haven't been in enough leagues with you, or maybe it's just a coincidence. But
we were in the league of leagues, and we were in this one league.
Leagues,
that's
which
it.
I won, and you finished what, eighth place?
No, fifth.
Fifth. All right. Well.
Yeah, and I was dominant in one sport. Well,
dominant. I still won that sport. Did you win that sport in any season?
Yes. I won the second time.
Okay. So in my worst sport, you were as good as me. In your best sport. Got it.
No, I destroyed you both times. You won a fluke playoffs. I demolished you in that league.
You won the playoffs.
Yeah, but you won the playoffs. Playoffs don't count. The regular season, I was like 30 games
ahead. I regret bringing up fantasy. All right. I will give you credit. You won another $400 million in fake money. You're up to $1.9 billion.
Yeah. Yeah. 6-1 last week against the spread. Yeah,
picking straight winners and losers. You went 13-3. I went 10-6. Mm-hmm. Big win for you.
That's where? In confidence or on the pool?
Winners and losers.
Oh, because in confidence also.
Yeah.
Went
so, well, I would. Yeah. So you caught up on me. Well, then how does that work? Because why did I do better than you in confidence if I got three more games wrong than you did?
Maybe I put more confidence in certain games. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Odd. Yeah, the two games that you got wrong that I got right were you had Carolina over Atlanta and you had Seattle over the Rams. So I guess you must have had them very confident. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, so on the season now, I've won 5 weeks. You've won 5 weeks. We've been tied 4 weeks. And in total games, I'm up one on you. So we're very close. Let's jump right into week 15. There's a lot to talk about. It starts with your beloved Jets playing on Thursday night against the Ravens. Not a lot to talk about here. So can we just move on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have any takes on this game?
Yeah, I think it's a really bad spot for the Jets because they're, you know, Jamal Adams, maybe he'd be healthy by Sunday, but it's not going to happen by Thursday.
But don't Le'Veon Bell had to lose this game, all things being equal.
Of course. And they have no chance
Le'Veon
of winning
Bell
anyway,
has the flu.
But you don't want to get
destroyed.
He cannot
play football. He can only go bowling.
He can only go bowling. It's funny because the, coach has been, Gase has been feeding the media, in particular the New York
Anti-Bell
Post.
Anti-Bell stuff. Yeah.
Anti-Bell stuff all season. And of course, the Bell run that story, and then they asked Bell Gase if it's a problem, and he said, "Yeah, basically." So it clearly came from him. So I do think, I mean, there's a chance that I would get rid of Gase and keep Bell. Not that I care about Bell,
but
Gase
between
sucks.
The two, yeah.
Sadly, they're going to keep Gase and get rid of Bell. Although I don't really care about getting rid of Bell.
All right, so let's jump right to Sunday. We will start with the game where the Cheaters are flourishing. The New England Patriots go into Cincinnati. It's just comical to me, like, that this keeps happening. And, you know, we were having a spirited debate, and we not meaning you because you're not in this, but in my fantasy football WhatsApp chat this morning, what the consequences are going to be. I mean, I assume it's, what, they'll dock a pick and fine the team or something like that, right? But you can't punish Belichick personally unless it turns out, and I don't know the Patriots organizational structure, unless he's the boss of the department that oversaw the filming of this series, this documentary series they were making, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think that this can go to Belichick personally.
I think it can. Here's the thing. When
I mean, I don't
when,
think that Belichick ordered this. I think there's a culture of cheating and cutting corners and taking whatever advantage you can.
But then he has to be in on it. He has to be in on it then.
Well, again,
Is it very possible that they have sort of, you know, removed him from the equation, planned for just in case they got caught? Yes. But to me, I don't think there's no way that he could not.
The worst
have been
part to me is the fact that, so let's say hypothetically that these employees, they finish filming their little thing that they're filming for the Browns Bengals thing, and then they start filming the sideline of the Bengals and the play calling and all that they did, and then they provide that to the team. The team, the moment they got that, should have immediately notified the league and the Bengals and said, "Hey, listen, our employees did this illegally and without our permission. We're sorry, and here it is." The fact that they didn't and that they got caught for that, I think they can get punished, right?
Here's the thing. When cheaters always cheat. I saw you saying this on Twitter, but I already said this to people. When they caught the Russians doping, the whistleblower said they're doping in chess. Like if they cheat at everything.
You don't cheat because so you need people to cheat. You cheat because you're a cheater.
Yeah. People in one of my WhatsApp groups were like, "Well, they wouldn't cheat against the Bengals." Like, why? You don't think they want an edge against the Bengals? Like, yes, they have an 85 or 90% chance to win, but they want to make it 98, you know? It's absurd. And by the way, the Bengals, you know, basically played better than the freaking Patriots the last 2 weeks. But, you know, they cheat. And yes, they know they probably can't get away with it against the divisional team like the Jets or the Bills because they wouldn't let them in the building. But they could take advantage of the Browns, right, or the Bengals. That's not so complicated.
Yeah. Bengals not exactly a brilliant organization there. All right. But the bottom line is we don't really care. And the Patriots are going to win this game. And no billion-dollar bets yet on these two blowout games, right?
Right. Yeah.
Now, let's get to Tampa at Detroit. Tampa on fire lately. They come into Detroit as favorites. They're probably going to end the season 9-7. Now, it does nothing for them, except that it probably ropes them into signing Jameis for another year. Or more than 1 year. It's going to take a lot more than that to sign him.
Yeah, Jameis is going to get paid. I mean, he's the strangest player in NFL history at this point. He throws two interceptions every single week, but three touchdowns.
Yeah, 400 yards.
I mean, every play with them is really exciting. They are, like, the most exciting team in the NFL.
Yeah, except their games
are do I use the Bucs defense this week against the Lions? in a fantasy league that plays with defense.
No, but because
they give up like 30 points every week.
But you're hoping for turnovers.
They'll get a pick six against. Yeah.
No, I think it's a risk. You're in the playoffs. You don't do something like that.
I sold high on the Patriots, and you know, defenses almost never have value, but the Patriots' defense was so dominant at value. And I sold high, and they have not hit double digits since.
Good job. No, except bad job being in the league with defense, but whatever. All right, Tampa at Detroit. Mm-hmm. You're picking Tampa to win, I assume?
Yes, right. Tampa
and
to win.
You got any opinions on the spread?
Not any strong opinion, right. No.
Chicago at Green Bay. This game, all of a sudden, hugely important. I would say it's the fourth most important game of the week. Chicago still in the playoff race if they can win out. And Green Bay still in the race, you know, certainly for a bye and even possibly for the number one seed. So, you know, they obviously need to win as well. This spread all the way down to 4.5 surprises me that it's this low. I mean, Trubisky has one good game on a Thursday night and everybody's like, oh, the Bears are back.
I mean, you remember this game, the first game of the season. It was unwatchably bad, but it was close.
Yeah, but
it was the worst game of the whole year, basically.
Yeah, but the Bears were a very different team then. You know, I'm definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but are they better or
I'm
worse?
I'm giving these points. I don't know if I put if you know what I didn't do any money last week because you stole both games I wanted to bet on. So I'm going to quickly grab. I'm going to put $100 million on the Packers 4.5.
Okay, fine. All right. I'm just I take the Packers, but not. I'm not putting $100 million on or anything.
All right. Houston at Tennessee. Tennessee, crazy. They're 6-1 now under Tannehill. And when will it end?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it will. I think that they're going to win out.
It's very possible.
Yeah. Now, I've been hearing people say this is totally unprecedented, what Tannehill is doing. How does a guy become elite at this stage? So it's obviously not unprecedented. You know, the first guy that jumped to my mind was Rich Gannon, who was, you know, sort of a journeyman guy for the Vikings and other teams, and then shows up on the Raiders in the late 90s, early aughts, and was basically the best player in football for 3 years and put up these ridiculous numbers. But then I thought, well, that's not really an apt comparison, because what I want to find is a guy who was a first-round draft pick, was immediately named a starter for his team, was hyped, you know, as the future of that franchise, because, you know, Rich Gannon was never any of those things in Minnesota.
Are you going to say Steve Young?
Ended up going to another team where they starred later in their careers.
Testaverde or Steve
Young? No, okay. So I have seven people, actually, and Testaverde's not one, or Steve Young is not one of them. But Testaverde...
Why? He fits that bill completely.
No, he doesn't. He sat behind Joe Montana for years. He wasn't an immediately named a starter. You mean the 1 year in Tampa? But then he went to the USFL.
2 years in
Tampa.
Yeah,
but then he went to the USFL.
Yeah, but I'm saying he doesn't play till 1987. He
wasn't a first-round draft pick, was he?
Steve Young, he was the first overall pick. Do you follow football?
Hold on a second. So then how did I miss him when I did my search?
Because he was a supplemental pick. Maybe it threw you off your maybe it threw you off your game.
He wasn't in the actual draft. He was in the supplemental draft. Okay, so that's why.
Yeah, but he was number one overall. Like he was
all right,
a super prospect.
So he was in Tampa for 2 years. Then because he came from the USFL. Yeah, okay. Then he went to San Francisco.
Young never started more than three games in a season for the Niners till he was 30.
Till he was 30.
He had 20 something career starts in his 20s.
Steve Young is actually the only player like this who became a star. Who like reached a star level and then maintained it.
People had star seasons for a year.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Young is, in my opinion, one of the greatest. I mean, he's certainly one of the most underrated quarterbacks of all time. Like, he should have won MVPs that Brett Favre stole in, like, 95, 96.
Young played 16 games three times. It's crazy.
But 13, 14 is enough. All right, so, but here's my list of guys who were drafted in the first round of the regular college draft, not the USFL supplemental draft, which is why I missed Young, big mistake. And then, as I said, were immediately named starters, struggled, ended up going to another team where they had star seasons later in their career. So, Vinny Testaverde, who you already mentioned, he was below average every single season of his career until his 10th season in Baltimore at age 33. That team went like 4-12, but he had like 33 touchdowns and 4,000 yards or some ridiculous thing. Then 2 years later, he had another superb season for your Jets, obviously, in your greatest football season in your lifetime. So he had those two great seasons, but that was it. So, you know, Tannehill's 30 right now, is all of a sudden a star. But Testaverde, he did it twice at age 33 and age 35. He stuck around forever, but he never maintained like a star level. All right, so he's the first example.
Yeah, but then you look back at where they were, similar to, you know, what you'll say about Ryan Tannehill. You know, he was on Tampa and Cleveland, like two unbelievably bad franchises. I mean, they were very competent, the final years of the Belichick Browns, but then
he had his first breakout season on Cleveland. I mean, it was Baltimore at that point, but it was the same franchise. Right? 96.
He was He's good in Cleveland.
Yeah. I rank all the starting quarterbacks every year. He was below average. He was below 15 every single year of his career until 1996.
Well, 93 only starts six games, but he was like really, really, really good.
Six games, I don't care what you do in six games.
Yeah, I'm upset. But the point is like the ability was clearly there. And then the last year in Cleveland, which is still Cleveland, he played well.
Let's not talk about ability. Let's talk about actual performance. How many years was he an above average starting quarterback in the NFL? And the answer is two. Twice in his career he did.
Yeah.
At age 33 and at age 35. So, because I guess the question of all this is, do we expect Tannehill to maintain this pace? And in one bucket, you have Steve Young. And then another bucket, you have eight guys who all didn't. So let's go to the next one. So the next one is Kerry Collins. Kerry Collins struck.
By the way, remember I liked him so much.
Yes, you predicted them after his one good year in Miami. You predicted them the next year to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I thought the issue was Tannehill, but maybe now it's Gase, and maybe that was a Super Bowl team.
And then now he's on your team, so it sucks for you.
Oh, man, when Gase leaves, like whoever comes after him will be so much better. Yeah. It's crazy.
Although you've said that about your last several coaches, and yet they...
I know, they're going to hire someone in common.
Kerry Collins, the debut pick for an expansion franchise, actually took them to the NFC Championship, but you know he was bad in Carolina. He went to New Orleans. On his third team in his sixth season, he becomes the top 10 quarterback for the first time and leads the Giants to the Super Bowl that year. Now, but that, he wasn't great, but he was a top 10 quarterback that year. He had another good year 2 years later, but that was not his standard. He was still mostly a below average quarterback for the rest of his career. And even his team had good years. Like, he had a good year in Tennessee later, but, he was never really good. So he had a couple of decent seasons, on his third team on the Giants, but he was never very good. Jeff George. Now, he's an interesting case. You know, a number one overall pick, tons of hype, a disaster. You know what his record was his 4 years in Indy? 14 and
Won like
they went 1-15 one year. So that skews it. But he was 14 and 35 as a starter. He goes to Atlanta where he had two like top 10 years in a row, but it didn't last. So he went to Oakland where he had a career year at age 30. It didn't last there either. He goes to Minnesota where he has another good season. Again, it doesn't take, and he ends up. In Jeff George's case, it was more just that he was such an asshole, I think, from what everybody says.
He was so bad because if you'll remember, there were articles in the early days of ESPN.com every year because he stopped playing at 35. He's not in the NFL anymore. Yeah. And he never really failed his way out of the league. He was still fine.
Yeah, his performance, he was good in Minnesota. He was good he was good everywhere. He was good in Oakland. He was good in Atlanta.
He wasn't good in Washington, they let him play a little. He was backup worthy. Yeah. But he was so unlikable that they never... Yeah.
And of course, who's his biggest fan in the media?
Who was Jason Whitlock? So. Yeah, he was always the one calling for him.
He was saying, unironically, when Jeff George was like 43, that he could still be a starting NFL quarterback.
Yeah, there was an annual... Jeff George, someone got hurt. Yeah. Before Colin Kaepernick, there was Jeff George.
What people did about Roger Clemens in the early aughts, or Brett Favre even, like, in the early part of this decade, Jason Whitlock was doing for Jeff George. Might still be doing it if anybody's listening to him anymore. All right, next we have Tannehill, already mentioned. Now, Tannehill's interesting. His first 3 years in the league, he got a little bit better every single year. His third year, he was above average. And coming into his fourth year, as you said, you predicted him to go to the Super Bowl. But then he totally crashed out. So much so that at age 31 this year, he had to sign a $1.875 million one-year contract as a backup. And right now, he's playing at basically an MVP level.
Yeah. What's his contract? 1.8?
Yeah, just under $2 million.
That's like the minimum, basically, for someone of his. Right. Trevor Siemian got $2 million.
Three more guys, sort of similar comps. Jim Harbaugh, drafted by the Bears. Came off the bench initially behind Jim McMahon, but his main problem in Chicago was he could never stay healthy and maintain the job. He had his career year in Indy at age 32. That's the year he made the Pro Bowl. That's the year they went to the conference championship game and had the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
But he never repeated that again. Then we have Trent Dilfer. Trent Dilfer, he was he had one good year in Tampa. He actually made a Pro Bowl in 97. But other than that, he sucked in Tampa. He washes out, ends up as a backup in Baltimore. Comes in for Tony Banks, goes 11-1 that year and wins the Super Bowl. But he wasn't good that year. They won the Super Bowl despite him. So, it's not like he was good all of a sudden. And then the last example, which is interesting actually, because I think this is pretty close to Tannehill, is Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford was never terrible in St. Louis. His main problem was he couldn't stay healthy. He gets traded to Philly in the Foles trade. He was not good there. Then he gets his third chance in Minnesota. He was very good that year. He set the all-time NFL record for completion percentage. And granted, people are saying, he's dinking and dunking, but they had no offensive line. He had to get rid of the ball quickly. He had 20-5 touchdown interception ratio. He was good that year. The next year, opening night, he has 378 yards and three touchdowns against the Saints in a dominant performance. And then he gets hurt, and basically his career was over. So Bradford's issue, I think, was health, because Bradford showed flashes. And, if he stays healthy, who knows? Now, Bradford was always derided. Everybody loved to hate on him. But the reality is when he was healthy, he was good in Minnesota.
Right. People remember him by the end, but his body just broke down.
And he was good in Minnesota without an offensive line and without a running back, right? I mean, he came in after Peterson, basically. They had, like, Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata. So I think that Bradford is a pretty – so I guess the question of all this is, do we think at age 31 Tannehill is now going to be a superstar for the next half a dozen years?
I don't think so, but I think it's reasonable that he could be a slightly below average, above average quarterback.
Well, then the question is, what kind of contract would you want your team to give him? Now, I guess you're still committed to Darnold, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not like Gase is going to. It would be the ultimate FU to Gase to, like, get rid of him and bring it down.
But, I mean, let's. If your team, if Sam Darnold contracts, you know, life permanent, what's the kissing disease called again? I forgot that he had. Mono.
Mononucleosis.
Yeah, so Sam Darnold gets mono. Gase gets fired. Gase gives it to him. They're both gone. You need a quarterback this offseason. Would you want to sign Tannehill? And if so, what contract would you give him?
Well, you got to give me. I mean, you have to give me options. Would I rather have Tannehill or Jameis? I'd probably rather have Tannehill.
Even though Tannehill's 31.
Because you'll get a better deal on him.
All right. So then, what do you think he's going to get? I mean, Foles got $250. I thought that was a terrible deal. I think
Foles got 50.
Yeah, 2 years, $50 million.
No, what did he get guaranteed?
Wasn't it 50?
Well, I guess it doesn't matter if you don't cut him.
No, I thought it was the 50 guaranteed. There was, like, more than that. I thought he got two.
No, I think it was two for 43.
All right, whatever. 43, 50, close enough. The point is, it was double what I would have given him. If you want to give him the Sam Bradford contract that Arizona gave Bradford, give him 1 year, $15-20 million. Let's see if he can stay healthy. Fine.
What about the Glennon?
Well, that was much less. So that was like 14.
Yeah, you're right. It is 50.
It was 250. That's what
bananas.
It gave him. Yeah, it was insane. And
no, because it was.
Tannehill's going to get
Isn't
that at least.
450?
And
well, he got 488, but the only thing that counts.
Yeah, I don't care about those numbers. What matters, it was 250. That's what's relevant. Tannehill's going to get better than that. And it's crazy to me because, again, like, is he playing like a superstar, like a star this year? Absolutely, through seven games. You know, we saw Scott Mitchell do that once in Miami. But we there's no reason to assume that this is who he is and not the guy we saw for 7 years in Miami. Unless you're Mickey Steve Young. So, anyway, so that's my Tannehill take. What's your pick, Houston or Tennessee? Huge game all of a sudden.
Tennessee. What's the line?
Tennessee's favored by 3.5. I think it's 3. Unless it's moved.
If I could get 3, I think I'll put, at 3, I'll put $100 million on Tennessee.
Keep putting $100 million on Tennessee. I'm going to pick them to win, but I don't know if, I mean, it's just Houston laid such an egg at home against Denver that it's hard to trust them, I guess, but.
Yeah. I just think Tennessee's a little hotter right now. I think even if Houston keeps it close, I think Tennessee.
I mean, a little hotter. A week ago, Houston blew out New England on national TV.
I have a Hopkins Watson stack in a fantasy league, and when they were down 31-3, I was going to knock me out because they had done nothing.
Oh no, Watson had a huge, he had two rushing touchdowns.
Watson hits a bomb. Yeah. Well, but they had nothing late.
Yeah,
in the
I know.
Third quarter,
I'm invested in both them also.
And if they didn't, if they had not scored on that possession, that's it. Like, they might leave the game. They're going to run the ball certainly in the fourth quarter. It's all psychology of, like, you know, 31-3, you stop with your star quarterback. Yeah. And that play really got them 60 extra points. It was crazy.
So I'm going to take Tennessee to win. Now, I updated my, you know, like, predict every game the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And Houston hosting Tennessee in week 17, you know, which weeks ago I had said that would be a game for the division and would probably be the game that they're going to play, that they're going to flex to Sunday night. I no longer think so. If Tennessee wins tonight, and then next week Tennessee, you know, could probably beat New Orleans, right? The way that they're playing, and in Houston, I think that Tennessee's going to clinch that division in Week 16, right? I mean, Houston has to go at Tampa next week. Do you think that? I mean, Houston will probably be a slight underdog in that game also, unless they beat Tennessee. If Houston loses to Tennessee this week, Houston's going to be an underdog at Tampa.
And Tampa wins. Yes.
And then that means that week 17, Tennessee's already tied. In fact, Tennessee would be playing in week 17.
Well, that doesn't mean they're going to lose. You act like they're
going to lose. Yeah, no, but I'm just saying the more likely, you know, greater than 50%. Obviously, it's still pretty close. But I think that is a very strong likelihood that Tennessee will have clinched the division, will be fighting with Kansas City for the 3-4 seed, if anything, because they get the tiebreaker. They're having beaten them. And Houston is going to be like 8-7, and they're going to be fighting for the final wild card with Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Not even Cleveland, I guess, just Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee is, I think, seventh in point differential. Yeah. Like, Tennessee is no joke.
So just to, as a spoiler alert, so going into week 17, based on my predictions in weeks 15 and 16, I have Philly will have clinched the division, and that's assuming they beat the Cowboys in week 16. But the week
so what are they, 7-8?
No, they'd be 8-7. Dallas would be 7-8.
8-7, but resting their whole resting.
Yeah,
Wentz
yeah, because they'll be 8-7. Dallas will be 7-8.
I mean, they could be 7-8, and one of those teams could be
well,
7-8.
Well, no, because
rest,
well, they would need Dallas to lose.
Or Dallas, well, they would need Dallas, Dallas no, could no, be 7-8.
Because if Dallas beats them in Week 16, right? They could be 7. I mean, let's see. So if they lose to Washington this week, no, because then they wouldn't have the divisional. No. There's no way that Philly can rest at 7-8. The only way Philly can clinch.
The Cowboys can, though.
Yes, the Cowboys can. Yes, because the Cowboys
that's
already beat
the
Eagles once.
Could be
yes, the Cowboys only. The Cowboys are undefeated in the division right now, right? But they have to play at Philly in Week 16, and then they play.
Wait, so if the Cowboys win the next two games, they win the division.
Either way, I think the division gets clinched in Week 16. Because under my circumstance, if Philly wins Week 16 over Dallas, they're 8-7, but they're 4-1 in the division. Dallas. Oh no! I'm wrong. What am I talking about? Because they're 4-1. If they were to lose, then be 4-2. If Dallas were to win, they'd be 5. No. So Philly's got to play no matter what. Philly can't clinch in Week 16. Mm-hmm. They need to win in Week 17. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So
well, Week 17, the Cowboys get the Redskins.
Yeah.
Right. The Eagles get the.
Well, Cowboys. But the Eagles are at New York. They barely beat New York at home this week. Right. Last
True.
Night. So yeah. You know, I don't know.
I mean, Daniel Jones might not be.
Well,
back
I mean,
for
they gotta have some kind of.
Eli,
well, isn't that? Is I don't know. Would you rather have Eli or Daniel Jones right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So take it to the. All right. Well, we'll get to the next division. I don't want to spoil anything. So next game we have is Chicago. Excuse me. Is Miami? No. Is Denver at KC? We haven't discussed that game yet, right? How much
do
we buy of Denver's dominant performance in Houston?
I think it was a little fluky. I think they lose that game. You know, 5 times out
yeah.
of 10.
This line. I mean, the line when we guessed it was a 12, which was way higher than any of us guessed. At 12, I think I'm gonna put.
Did Mahomes play the 36 game? Kansas City beat Denver 36.
That's the game he got injured.
A Mahomes game. Okay, fine.
Yeah, but that was a forgettable game. That was a national TV game. That was like Denver's low point. I think they were still on Flacco at that time. I'm going to pick KC to win. But if it's a 12, I think I'm gonna put $100 million on Denver.
At 12 is really high. I'll pick the Chiefs to win, Broncos to cover, but not with any money.
All right. Miami at the Giants. I don't even want to spend 1 second talking about this game.
Yeah, who cares? Just pick a winner.
Giants.
I'm going to say Miami wins.
No faith in Eli, future Hall of Famer. He's got to get back above 500, doesn't he? Or at 500.
No, I think it's perfect for his career if he's a few games on.
All right. Philly at Washington. I mean, I guess Philly's going to have to win, but you can't say this with any degree of confidence. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Washington has looked slightly frisky, a little bit. More so than the Giants. And Philly can't beat them. I mean, and also, don't forget, in Week 1 in Philadelphia, Washington almost beat the Eagles. And that's when the Eagles had DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey healthy. Not to mention their offensive line. So I'm gonna pick Philly here, but I do not, you know, I'm definitely taking these points. I assume you're giving the points because you guessed it at 9.5. So if it's all the way down to 5.5 or 6, you must think you're getting free points, no?
Wait, Philly at 6?
Philly's favored in Washington by 6.
Yeah, I'll take Philly in at -6.
Yeah, but are you putting money on it?
No.
Lame. All right.
Philly, because Philly sucks. I don't want to spend any money
on
them.
No, that's not incorrect. Seattle at Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina's really not fighting hard for this interim coach.
Yeah. I mean, they might lose out.
That was the worst game of the day. It was a really good football Sunday.
Yeah.
That was probably the most irrelevant
game
of the day.
Now, the problem is, like, when your team has such a boring game, as the Vikings had, like, the boringest game you could ever.
That's true. The truth is, I was thinking, like, when we were talking, you know, I was thinking about the podcast. I'm like, what did the Vikings play? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
I did not see one play of the Vikings line.
It was
game.
The boringest game. It was 20-0 until.
It was like having a bye week. It was
basically
literally
that's,
like having
that's
a bye
how they treated it. They really, like, they pulled out the least amount of effort possible. They didn't play Thielen, who I thought probably could have played. They forget about resting Dalvin Cook. They were resting Madison, and they were playing Mike Boone. So, you know, they were really, like, not trying. So here's my question. So the announcers always claim that, like, teams really want to maintain the shutout. Is that true? Because the Vikings weren't.
I think a defense. A defense have a lot of pride.
Well,
I do
because
think
I really
to
wanted to maintain
players.
The shutout, partly because the Vikings were favored by like 13.5 or 14.
I do think there's a pride thing. It's a divisional team.
Well, but I don't know. But they were in a prevent defense though, as the Lions drove down the field with 3 minutes to go.
Yeah.
So were they? You know, it didn't seem like they were.
I mean, maybe the players care more than the coaches.
And then the question is, when
cares,
you're down 20-0 and you score a touchdown with 2 minutes to go, to make it 20-6. Why do you kick the extra point at that point? If you're trying to score a touchdown, you might as well throw for two. Unless, and the only reason I can think of, is that Patricia had bet the Lions a -13.5 or whatever.
Listen, he's an expatriate. I wouldn't. Nothing would shock me.
So yeah. So the Vikings won 20-7. A meaningless game. All right. So Seattle, Carolina. We're both picking Seattle. Any money you want to put there or no?
Right, no.
Jacksonville, Oakland. Jacksonville, another team who, 45-10. Nobody saw that coming. The Chargers really got like every monkey off their back from the whole season. It's too little, too late for them, but.
Yeah, the Raiders are -108 on the year.
Yeah, they're very bad. And even here's the thing: the Chargers 5-8 right now. Even if they win out, they cannot make the playoffs.
Yeah, the 5-8 teams are eliminated. The Jets.
Yeah,
too.
No, but 8-8 could make the playoffs in the AFC.
Are the Broncos not eliminated because the Jets and the Chargers are?
No. So here's how it works. So Pittsburgh, the problem with the Chargers is that they're 3-7 in the conference. So they're going to lose every single conference tiebreaker.
Yeah, same. The Jets are 2-7.
Yeah, same
in the conference.
Same issue. So Oakland, now Denver is irrelevant because Denver is going to lose to Kansas City this week. Mm-hmm. So Oakland, I think Oakland when they lose this game over here. Well, excuse me, when they lose, Oakland next week is playing at the Chargers, right? So I assume they're going to lose that one the way that the Chargers are playing right now. But even so the way that I have it is Indy will be eliminated. The only teams fighting for the three teams fighting for the final wild card spot in the AFC are going to be Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Houston. I have Pittsburgh 8-7, mm-hmm. Houston 8-7, Cleveland 7-8. But if Houston and Pittsburgh were to lose and Cleveland were to win, then Cleveland could get the final spot at 8-8 because they'd have a better divisional record than Pittsburgh and they'd have a better conference record than Houston. I'm rooting for the 8-8 team to make it. The Bills, by the way, look like they're going to lock it up early. But this is, by the way, the Pittsburgh's 8-5 right now, so this is relying on Pittsburgh losing out.
What's your Sunday night Week 17 game at this point?
Well, so based on everything I just said, it would be, I mean, San Francisco Seattle is playing where the winner gets the 1 seed, the loser gets the 5 seed, but it's only for seeding. Right? Pittsburgh at Baltimore mm-hmm. is a game where it could be, it won't be for seeding because Baltimore could be playing for the 1 seed, Pittsburgh could be playing to get the wild card, so maybe it's that game.
But you don't know.
That's
wrong.
They
you
like
never
to have
know
the game
until...
simultaneous, and it's not fair to Cleveland and Houston that Pittsburgh isn't playing at the same time. So
it's possible there is no game.
I think it's probably gonna be San Francisco, Seattle. Like they did with the Vikings and Packers that year, where the winner gets the division, the winner gets the 1 seed, the loser gets the 5 seed. They're still both in the playoffs. But
I wonder if they should move the game to Saturday night, because it's such a disadvantage. Maybe it's such a disadvantage to play Sunday night. If you're San Francisco, you could lose that game and have to go to Philadelphia, and
it's a difference of a few hours. Is that a huge difference? So maybe why can't they just put?
But it is. It's a whole day in terms of.
Well,
time.
I mean, would they put San? So let's say that would they put San Francisco at Philly on Saturday versus Sunday? Probably, because the other game would be Minnesota. It would be a much higher profile game.
They'd
so,
go nuts. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
San Francisco Philly is a better TV game than Green.
No
game,
way. So. No, it's not.
Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah,
no,
oh, it is.
I disagree. I strongly disagree with you. There's much bigger stars.
San Francisco Philly is a bigger TV game than any NFC East team other than the Redskins is pretty much a bigger game than any other.
But Philly is not the Cowboys and the Giants in terms of a national profile.
Minnesota is not a big market.
I know that. It's Green Bay, but they're higher profile players.
The Niners have a pretty big following
and
fans.
Player than any player on.
I agree. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is the big star, and
let's put
Wentz
it this way: Vikings Packers is on national TV every single year. Every single year, one of their two matchups is on national TV, and sometimes even both.
Well, people didn't realize the Niners would be good this year, or they would have been on 10 times also.
Yeah, they would have been on more, but
and for whatever reason, the Niners play really exciting games.
Yeah. Oh well, that's also true. Yeah, but
it's actually close.
Dallas,
Green Bay, Minnesota.
If it's San Francisco with Dallas, I think it's a little bit different.
Well, it's not different. I mean, Dallas.
But San Francisco
with
Philly, I don't think. I think that Fox would rather have Minnesota and Green Bay than San Francisco Philly. Also,
I think you're incorrect.
The expectation is that San Francisco Philly would be a blowout, right?
I mean, that's certainly a concern. Yeah. But I do think you're incorrect. I think if they did a draft, like NBC got first pick for the Saturday night game.
Well, I mean, we'll see. Because they are 100% going to do this, and we'll get an answer. So we don't need to speculate.
Not really, because the league decides. But I'm saying if NBC was picking, they 100% would pick San Francisco Philly over Green Bay, Minnesota.
Yeah, well, I don't agree with you. But let's see. If Philly does in the next couple of weeks, Philly's been so unwatchably bad the last couple of weeks.
Right, obviously, Philly dragging, ass into the...
If it's a 9-17 who's on a little bit of a run.
Right, well, now the argument you could make is the Philly fans aren't even excited about the Eagles. That is definitely true.
Nobody is. No, the NFC East should be thrown into a river and let the Rams get the final spot in the playoffs. But, all right, what game are we up to? Cleveland at Arizona. So Cleveland, again, they still technically are playing for something. But you know what? I'm taking Arizona to win this game.
Yeah, I do think these are pretty evenly matched teams, honestly. Yeah.
You actually had Arizona favored. So who are you picking?
Yeah, I think, Arizona is usually competitive. I don't know.
I mean, that point
but I'm actually
going
to pick Cleveland to win.
Yeah,
I'm gonna pick Cleveland to win this
game. All right, so if Cleveland wins, and the pressure is definitely on Pittsburgh. Their game is flexed, so we'll get to them later. Vikings at the Chargers, the game that was flexed out. I'm going to miss the first half of this game because my son's birthday party. Happy birthday to Kobe. I'm going to pick the Chargers to win this game. I'm just... Mm-hmm. I'm pessimistic about the Vikings. I just think that they'll find a way to lose, like just they did last year. And the Chargers just won a game by 5 touchdowns. So we know what the Chargers have a capability of doing.
It is a shame. The Chargers, they had a lot of injuries again this year. But
but everybody's back now. And so that's, they didn't have Melvin Gordon early.
I know. I'm saying they're going to be a wagon.
But those guys are all back now. So what's the excuse at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I guess they don't need an excuse. They just won 45-10 on the road.
Yeah.
What's your pick here?
What's the line?
It's Vikings are favored by 2.5.
Yeah, I like the Vikings, but it is a bad matchup for them. I do think the Chargers could beat almost every AFC team.
Yeah. I mean, the Chargers beat the Packers at home. And it's not really home, obviously. And it's a majority is rooting for, certainly will be rooting for the Vikings.
Yeah, they're 2-1 against the NFC. Yeah.
So, they beat the Packers, and then who they beat between the Bears and the Lions.
The Lions. I believe.
Didn't they lose in Detroit?
Oh, so then did they beat Chicago? I don't remember the Chargers Bears game at all. Yeah, you're right. They lost the early in the
Detroit,
year,
like week 3 or week 2. Yeah,
and they beat the Bears by 1.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. All right. Rams at Dallas. This is a monster game.
Oh, Pinheiro missed the field goal, so they didn't. They should have won.
Rams at Dallas. This to me is the most significant game of the week. Houston at Tennessee. I guess that
you mean because you want to find out who the 6th best team in the NFC is.
Yeah, but it has massive playoff ramifications.
But I'm saying not only that. Like, I feel like these are the two most even.
It's a must. It's an absolute must win for both teams, right? For the Rams to make the playoffs, they need to win all their games. And for the Cowboys to make the playoffs, unless they plan on.
It's literally not a must win for
the
Cowboys.
Well, it's only not a must win for the Cowboys if they win both their other games. Philly loses both their other games, and.
Yeah, well, that's very likely because they get the Redskins in week 17. They just have to win next week.
No, but they would need Philly.
They could take this week off.
Oh, Dallas needs to win at Philly, you're saying?
They just need to win at Philly. That's it. This game doesn't matter. Is it really they could
so
take
you're
the
saying
week
so
off.
They lose this game.
I don't even know who the
no,
backup
no, no,
for
on.
Dallas is. Play
they
him
lose this game, down. They win the next two, they'd be 8-8, and then Philly.
Yeah, they're in.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so you're saying it doesn't even matter for them.
This game doesn't matter because they know they're going to beat the Redskins, who are going to be on their fourth interim coach by week 17.
So that's actually an interesting perspective. I didn't even think about it.
Fire their GM
so
already.
If the Cowboys beat the Eagles, and they get to 7,
you don't want
to
get anybody hurt.
The Cowboys beat the Eagles, and then they need to win one of their other two games.
If the Cowboys beat the Eagles, their magic number is 1, yeah. Chester.
Yeah, so the Cowboys, that's it. Yeah.
Of any Eagles or Cowboys result the rest of the year.
Yes.
Now, unfortunately, that's the Redskins and the Giants for the Eagles, but it's also the Redskins.
So, yeah, so.
Cooper Rush, by the way.
Now, this is more reason why, I was saying weeks ago that the Cowboys Eagles game should have been flexed to week 17. They should have swapped all the 16-17 NFC East games.
That was my line, you moron. You said it was the greatest idea you ever heard. It was my comment.
No, that is. Go back and listen. I was the one who noted that the four NFC teams were playing each other both week 16 and 17, and they should swap all of them. That was definitely my idea.
I honestly think, and I mean this with love, Alex, you were a pathological liar. a pathological liar. Because I said it, and you're like, that's the smartest thing you've ever said, and now you're taking credit for it?
Okay, so maybe.
That's crazy.
I'm trying to be generous.
That's
I'm trying
insane.
To give you the benefit of the doubt as much as possible.
I honestly think,
be generous,
hold on.
And maybe what happened is you had said, I wish this game could be in week 17, and then I'm the one who noted, well, actually, it could be because they're all playing each other, so they could actually swap it. Maybe that's what happened.
No, I said that they should move it, and then you realized, oh, it is possible. But if the idea was mine.
Maybe that happened. But
you're just the logistics guy here.
But I'm certainly the one who noticed that all four NFC East teams were playing each other in week 16 and 17.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
I'm really
generous to you. That's, it could be.
What else do you lie about? Guess what? There's people who listen to this carefully enough that at least one
person. Well, that's
person
what I'm saying. I want to go back and find it from a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, one of the listeners, please tell us.
Yeah.
We'll get to the bottom of that one.
Holy cow. Yeah.
Okay, so you actually totally flipped me around on this. So it's actually not that important to Dallas, as long as they win their other two games.
Yeah, the Rams are going
to
destroy them.
Now, to be
anyway.
Clear, that means Dallas has to win each of their other two games. They have no margin for error.
Yeah, they have no margin for error against the Eagles no matter what, because the Eagles are, I guess the Eagles could lose one of those too. They suck.
Yeah, I mean, again, it took them overtime at home to beat the Giants and with Eli Manning, quarterback, in 2019. So you have the Rams blowing out the Cowboys.
Yes.
All right. So the Cowboys are 3-point favorites. So how many millions or billions are you putting on the Rams?
100 million.
No, no, no. You said last week you weren't doing $100 million bets anymore.
No,
you have $1.9 billion in the bank. What are you doing?
Chester,
there's 3 weeks left.
You know how I got this rich by milking it up to $3 million.
Can you at least acknowledge that last week you said you wouldn't be betting $100 million anymore?
I will. I know. I will at some point go $200-$400 million.
Right, now, are you betting the Rams money line or are you just betting them to cover three?
I'm just going to bet them to cover three.
And you're obviously betting them to win. You said you're picking them to win. I'm picking the Cowboys to win. Even though it actually doesn't matter so much, so I'll give you credit for that one. You did come up with that idea. All right, Atlanta at San Francisco. Whatever. San Francisco's going to win. Phenomenal game last week. Right? They had that slight lull for 3 weeks in the Cardinals games and the Seahawks game, but San Francisco was all the way back. Garoppolo's playing the best he's played ever. Right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, he's learning on the job. He still doesn't have that many, W's under his belt.
Now, not a lot to say about this game. So let me ask you about Sam Warren, a listener, tweeted at us or at me.
Okay.
An idea that he has. Oh, he tweeted at you also. About challenges. So, there's this stupid flaw in the NFL system where if a coach has to use two challenges, he only gets one more, even if he got them both correct. Now, we have always said that the correct thing to do on a fumble, non-fumble, questionable call is rule it as a fumble, let the play go all the way through, let the result happen, let the return happen, and then you can go figure it out. The problem is that on plays where it's obviously not a fumble, it's obviously an incomplete pass or the guy's down or whatever, then the coach has to waste a challenge. And this happened to the Vikings. And this happened to the Patriots. Well, the Patriots game was where the ref screwed up and they didn't let it play through. But the point is that it's unfair that a team has to use a challenge at all and lose a challenge and lose the right to challenge later on a play that's obviously wrong, but that we want the refs to get obviously wrong, right? We want the refs on those situations. We said we always want them to defer to continue the play. But it's unfair to the team who didn't fumble that they then have to waste a challenge on that. So what should you do? So my general perspective has always been, let's get rid of challenges altogether. Let's get rid of booth reviews altogether. Let's get rid of refs running over to the sideline and putting a little mask over their face and looking at a little four-inch screen. Have the guys watching on the screens in the office in New York or East Rutherford, New Jersey, wherever it is, immediately radio into the refs on every single play of the game what the correct call is. So if it happens twice a game, four times a game, 17 times a game, immediately listen to them. Hey, listen, you got it wrong. Reverse the call. That's it. No time wasted. No, nobody running back and forth, no talking to the coaches, no throwing challenge flags. That, to me, is the solution. Let's just get the calls right. Sam Warren has an interesting proposal which goes all the way the other way, which is he says no more automatic reviews at all. No video reviews, no last 2 minutes. Everything is coach determined. Okay? But Sam's idea is coaches have unlimited challenges. Unlimited. But when they are wrong, the opponent gets to choose. Three options. Take away a timeout, a loss of yardage, or, and I like this one the best, they lose a player for the next play. NHL power play style.
That's interesting.
So you get to challenge, but if you're wrong, the other team's going 11-on-10 on the next play.
They lose a player. Yeah. Okay, that's fascinating.
Well, but it's also, see,
I honestly think the other way. I think that the league should just be looking at every play.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it should be completely out of the coach's hands. The coaches don't want to do it. Yes. They're bad at it. It hurts their
reputation. I will say, from an entertainment perspective, Sam's idea is way better.
Yeah, I like
First
the idea
First of all, there's
of
more strategy because not only does the coach have to decide whether to challenge, but the other coach has to decide, do I take away a timeout? Do I take away a player? Do I take away yards? They'll always make the wrong decision. It's more fun for review. So Sam's idea is certainly more entertaining. If it was the NBA, I think they'd consider that one. But so I like that idea from Sam. So good on you, Sam. And
Let me ask you a question. So today is the deadline to flex the last flexible game, week 16. Yeah. Right now, Kansas City-Chicago is the Sunday night game next week. That's not awful.
Well, here's the thing. Again, if Chicago were to win in Green Bay this week, then that game is important. But right now, that game. Now, you said Dallas at Philly cannot be flexed in there?
Yeah, there's no. Fox would. It would be the first game all year.
Okay. The big game is that week. Green Bay, Minnesota is already on Monday.
I mean, there is a chance the league could bribe.
Well, there's one other obvious option. New Orleans at Tennessee.
So what I'm thinking is obviously it's not a great TV game, right? Tennessee has very good loyal fans, but they have no national following.
But all the other big games, Buffalo at New England's already on a Saturday. Rams,
it's the only option. I mean, if Cleveland had one more win, you could do Baltimore Cleveland, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and so Cleveland did win in Baltimore.
New Orleans Tennessee is guaranteed to be a big game next week.
Yeah,
I mean, Kansas City Chicago is a bigger market game than New Orleans Tennessee. I think they probably keep it. They usually err on the side of keeping, although this year they, you know,
so
they made
I mean,
a
I'm looking at my rankings for week 16. So I have Dallas at Philly.
Or they
one,
could flex Cincinnati, Miami.
I have Dallas at Philly Cincinnati, one, Miami? And then my 2, 3, 4, and 6 games are all already on Saturday or Monday.
Yeah, they really kept the you know, they had 5 options, but they really kept
yeah.
the
So it's New Orleans at Tennessee. I mean,
Saturday is unbelievable because Houston, Tampa Bay. First, Tampa Bay, you know, is exciting even if they're
and it's
great.
A must win for Houston.
Buffalo, New England is great because like this is Buffalo's time to shine. Yeah. And obviously the Rams-Niners one of the games of the season.
Although, if the Rams lose to the Cowboys, then the Rams might be done.
It's possible. They probably won't
be mathematically
eliminated.
If the Rams lose and the Vikings
they'll be
win,
trying.
Then the Rams are done.
Mm-hmm. Are they mathematically eliminated?
Well, let's see. Like, they'd be 8-6. They'd be 8-6. The Vikings would be 10-4. Mm-hmm. And then...
Well, the Packers would have to win, too.
Well, let me see. They did not... Okay, so if the Rams lose, they're 8-6... And their conference record would be 6-4, and the Vikings would be the Vikings conference record would be 7. No, so yes, if the Vikings lost out and the Rams won out, yes, so the Rams would still be alive. But technically speaking,
they're going to be trying no matter what. Yeah, so that's an unbelievable slate.
Yeah, no, so that's a great game. Yeah, for sure.
And it's a really great week because
and San Francisco has
Dallas
to play every
single
game because they're
the
fighting
year.
With Seattle.
It's real the schedule like which they've been very unlucky with the last couple of years, like Green Bay, Minnesota on Monday night. Dallas,
Green Bay, Minnesota
Sunday
in week 16 and San Francisco at Seattle week 17 are both identical games where the winner is getting a bye and the loser's a wild card.
Now, the 1 o'clock will be brutal. Like, you know, it'll matter for fantasy, but the 1 o'clock has Jacksonville, Atlanta next week, Baltimore, Cleveland, which is fine. New Orleans, Tennessee right now, which is good. Carolina, Indianapolis, which matters, but isn't great. Cincy, Miami, which is the worst game of the
year. Did you say Carolina and Indy matters? No, it doesn't.
I mean, for Indy, it does a little bit.
They're done.
They're done?
They're 6-7.
I mean, if they win this
they
week.
They have to win out
week,
and get a lot of help.
Okay. Cincy, Miami's the worst game
of
the year.
And they're not winning this week.
New
they're
York
playing New
Orleans
on Monday Night Football. We haven't got to that yet.
First of all, that's Darnold versus Duck. And Giants-Redskins is maybe also the worst game. So the bottom four teams
will
play
New Orleans,
each other.
The Giants-Washington, Cincy-Miami. But that's good that they play each other. Clear the debris, you know? Jacksonville, Atlanta.
And you have, I agree. It's a lot of debris.
You actually you have 10 teams.
Detroit-Denver is also a debris.
You have 10 teams under 500 all playing each other next week. That's actually great.
Yeah,
get rid of them all.
No, it's one of the better. It's one of the
better.
Yeah,
but four of those are on at 1 o'clock. So yeah,
I can't believe we're almost done with.
There's a lot of garbage.
It really sucks.
Yeah. All right. So it's really terrible. Atlanta. Okay. So Buffalo at Pittsburgh, the game that got flexed in. So as a TV game, I think Buffalo Pittsburgh is a worse game than Minnesota at the Chargers, but it's more important because the Chargers season's over. Right. These are the two teams right now that are the two wild cards in the AFC. Buffalo still has a chance in the division. I'm picking Buffalo to go into Pittsburgh and win.
It's tough for me. I mean, Pittsburgh has been playing way better than they possibly should.
No, Pittsburgh has been winning games
situation.
In the least impressive ways possible.
I agree.
Buffalo's been winning impressively, I think.
What's the line?
The line is that when we had it was 1. Pittsburgh favored by 1.
To me, this is one of the hardest games of the year.
I'm not putting money on it, but...
I'll go with the home team. I'll go with Pittsburgh.
So we reverse our normal positions on that one. That's our fifth disagreement. And then Indy at New Orleans, week 17. Indy, who you know we thought was a lock for the playoffs, right? I mean, a couple weeks ago we were saying how, you know, but for those missed kicks from Vinatieri, they'd be 8-3 or whatever.
Which was true, but now they've somehow got worse.
I think that the reality is that Jacoby Brissett was who we thought he was. And you get credit for this
one.
So
what do you do?
Because when Brissett
looked
hot early in the season, you kept saying he still sucked, and everyone hated you for it. But I think that you turned out to be correct.
Do you go after Tannehill? Do you go after Winston? Winston doesn't seem like an indie guy.
Here's the challenge. Like, Jacoby Brissett is somewhere between, like, the 24th and 34th best quarterback.
No, it's very – it'll be very – they're not going to have a good draft pick. It'll be
– I think that they should – look, Tennessee did the perfect thing. Mariota was a definite starter caliber quarterback, at least coming into the season, but was a slightly below average one, was, you know, around the 23rd best quarterback in the league. And they added to him the 33rd best quarterback in the league. And then it turned out that those, you know, roles were swapped. So I think that if they could – here's the thing. They're already committed to Brissett for, what, $10 million next year, right? So how much can they pay another quarterback? Like, maybe – like, who's willing to come in for a one-year contract? Because Jameis is going to want $50 million.
I mean, you could draft a guy in the first – you could, you know, trade up a little bit.
Jameis is going
to
want
– they don't have
Jameis is
going to
want $50
million
guaranteed, right? Tannehill's going to want $50 million guaranteed. Bridgewater maybe is the only guy who'd be willing to take, you know, if you could get Bridgewater and then you get a Bridgewater deck with Brissett and then you see who wins out there, I guess. I don't know. They're in a tough situation, I think, because you can do better, but you can't do demonstrably better, right?
Yeah, it's very tricky. It's, I mean, unless you steal Brady away from the Pats.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Dalton.
It's weird. All the options are in division.
By the way,
or you could
Tom
do
Tom Brady going to the Colts. Where did that come from?
I mean, like, he's clearly fed up with them. So
why would he go to
the
Colts though?
I've ever said.
I mean, Vinatieri did it. Maybe tell his buddy Vinatieri tells him it's nice in Indianapolis in November.
Yeah.
Jacob Lewin, is that true? I don't think so. All right. So Indy at New Orleans. New Orleans is going to win this game.
Yeah, yeah, nothing.
Yeah,
to
nothing
say
to say there. All right. Now, I made a chart per your request, which I thought we'd fold into the podcast, but I guess we'll just discuss it separately now.
You thought we'd what to the podcast?
I thought we'd like fold it in, like discuss it as we pick the games. But
oh, okay, but now we're closing on an hour.
All right, so
now
the listeners are going to get a long episode.
Should we save it till next week? No, we have a second episode to do.
So you don't want the listeners to get my chart?
Can we save it for next week? Nothing's going to change, really.
Well, what's going to change is we're going to see another game from San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Arizona.
All right, but I feel like that's fixable for you.
All right, so for next week, I will have ranked every division over since 1990. I decided to go 30 years deep. I went past 2002, the era of four-team divisions. It's tougher for a five-team division to get up there because when you have five teams, it's harder to not have one garbage team.
For sure.
So, but there are some five-division teams near the top. They prominently feature a team from Phoenix at the bottom, so that's a hint.
Yeah.
For
do you want to drop the story of why you would never mess with Dr. Jen? You tease that out. You want me to tell that story here? 57 minutes in.
If no, that's got to be on the Patreon episode because it can come back to bite me. So I need a smaller audience.
Okay, fine. Yeah, she listens to this one, but she's not signed up as a patron.
She's not a patron. We know that. All right, Keith. So I will talk to you in 5 minutes on the other podcast. Is that what we're doing now?
I have no idea. Well, let's talk about it offline.
Yeah, because we got to figure out what with you.
Well, not offline. I don't want to speak to you like on the phone. Right. That's insane. Right.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. My bags and went looking for a place to hide. When I saw old Carmen and the devil walking side by side, and I said, hey Carmen, come on, let's go downtown. She said, I gotta go, but my friend can stick around. Mm-hmm. Take a load off Fanny, take a load for free. Moses, there's nothing that you can say. It's just old Luke, and Luke is waiting on the judgment day. Hey Luke, my friend, what about a young Anna Lee? He said, do me a favor, son, I want to stay and keep her Anna Lee company. Yeah. Take a load off Fanny, take a load for free. He said, I will fix your rack if you take old Jack, my dog. I said, wait a minute, Chester, you know I'm a peaceful man. He said, that's okay, boy, won't you feed him whenever you can? Come on, take a load off. Cannonball, now to take me on down the line. Cause my bag is sinking low, and I do believe that it's time to
get back to Miss Betty. You know she's the only one. She sent me here.